Perek Vav Alacha, Pasuk Tezvav. 16, page 320. Here it goes. Now it starts out on verse 14. These were the heads of their father's houses. The son of Reuven was firstborn. Skip. Next one. The son of Shimon. Skip all the names. Next one. These are the names of the sons of Levi. Does that sound like what we just read? The sons of Reuven, the sons of Shimon. Then it goes, these are the names of the sons of Levi. Does not sound the same at all. It says this, it's missing in its consistency. But now we're not going to get involved with that. Here goes. We will maybe soon. In the order of their birth, Gershon, Kasam, Rari, the years of Levi's life, 137 years. So, if you were paying attention the last 2 weeks, we're not going to test anyone specifically here. We know that Yosef passed away at 110 years. We discussed 3 weeks ago, Yaakov passing away at 147 years. Now, the question is going to be like this. Yosef passed away at 110. That's, we said, Torah says it twice, by the way. We spoke about it the last time. If I have to ask you what the rest of the Shvatim passed away, odds are you don't know. And you know why you don't know? Because the Torah doesn't say it. The Torah said Reuven, doesn't say how old he was. Torah says the sons of Shimon, doesn't say how old he was. And now in verse 16, these are names of the son of Levi. By the way, the years of Levi's life were 137 years. So the obvious question is going to be like, okay, thank you for the information, but why do we really need to know Levi's information more than Reuven, more than Shimon, which is open, and I'm telling you right now, more than the other tribes, except Yosef. Why does it say the years? So we have a question now. The obvious question is going to be, why does Yosef, does it tell us 110 years? Why does Levi tell us 137 years? Rashi tells us, it's a medrash maybe, can't see him. Here goes Rashi, let's see if we have the English here. Lama, in English. We're reading the Hebrew bottom left column, third to the last line. Lama, the Rashi asks this question. Lama nimnu shnoisa shalevi. Why does the Torah count the years of Levi? Didn't count anybody else. Loedia, to teach us. Kama yimei ashibud. How long the work in Egypt was for the Jews. Shekolzman, main thing here. Shekolzman she'echmen ashvatim kayam. The entire time that one of the shvatim was alive, the 12 shvatim. Loi ho yashibud. There was no shibud. How do you know? Because it says before. Vayomis yosef v'chalachav. If we go back to 1:6, Perek Aleph Pasuk Vav, it's a very interesting thing. It says like this. Perek, which we've quoted a few times the last couple of weeks. Perek says, Yosef died, then all his brothers and the generation. Well, Rashi is telling us something fascinating right now. Rashi is telling us that when Yaakov died, we hit the first level of exile. Yosef died, second, another level of exile.
Descent.
And Levi dies, but that's to tell us, you know what, Levi died at 137 years. To tell us that, by the way, when Levi died, he was the last of the Shvatim to die. All the Shvatim died before him, yes.
Oh, Levi, right, right.
Levi, of the 12 Shvatim, everyone died before him. Since he's the last, we now went down another level. We descended another level. So we have Yaakov dying, Yosef then dying, Levi dying. Now we have to do math. She went to second grade math. Here goes, we have to know second grade math for this. I'm going too fast, sorry, it's fine. Here goes math, we got to know about. Yes. We know Yosef died at 110. That was last week. And Levi dies this week at 137. So without knowing anything, that's 27 years longer that Levi lived. That's not 27 years later, because Yosef and Levi were not twins. Uh-huh. Are we aware of that? So we got to figure out how much older was Levi than Yosef, and then minus off of 27, right? A lot of math stuff tonight. 137 years he lived, 110 years he lived, that's 27-year gap, but how much older he is. So we already quoted a Rashi a few weeks ago, by the way. We already quoted a Rashi. In the end, the Parsha told us, anyone listening? End of the Parsha, Rashi said that Yaakov was, by his father-in-law's house, Lavan, for 14 years before he gave birth to Yosef. So this is Yaakov's years we said a few weeks ago. Yaakov was 63 years old when the blessings were stolen. He ran to yeshiva for 14 years. 63 plus 14, 77. Then he shows up in Lavan's house. And he tells him, okay, work for 7 years, and then you get married. So, 77 plus 7, 84. And that's when he got married and started having kids. But he first has to have Reuven, then has to have Shimon, then Levi. So we're going to make a rough guess, 86, 87. Right, you know, he's popping out one after another. 86, 87, that's good. And Yosef, Rashi said, was born 14 years later, which means 77 plus 14, 91. Just for the math. So Yosef was 91, Yaakov was 91 when Yosef was born, and he was roughly 86, 87 when Levi was born. It puts Levi, 91 minus 87, 4 years older. So he outlived him by 27 years minus 4.
23
years. That means, very good. That means when Yaakov died, the first level of descent occurred to the Jews. We'll discuss what that is in a second. Now, Yaakov died at 147. We just said, how old was he when he gave birth to Yosef? 91. 147 minus 91, for the math genius sitting next to me, is about 56, 57.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? So that means Yosef then had, from Yaakov's death to Yosef's death, Yosef died at 110. 56 to 110? Am I killing him here? About 56, 54 really, right? 110 divided by 2 is 55. Okay, let me start off very simply. I warned you, Yaakov dies at 147 years old. At that time, Yosef is roughly 55, 56. 55 years later, Yosef dies. The first descent, spiritually, is 55 years. When Yosef dies, he's 110. We now hit the next descent. But, as you said correctly, we're about 23 years away from Levi dying. So we have a next gap. It's a 23-year gap of how it's another gap level down. Fine. Then when Levi dies, it goes down again. But we know, we spoke about in the years past, we're not giving any written test today, that when did it really get bad for the Jews? We gave a secret here. The secret was when Miriam was born. Because Miriam, the name is Marar, Mary, bitter. How old was Miriam when it ended? She was 86. Because Moshe Rabbeinu showed up at 80. Aaron was 3 years old, 83, and that last year, Miriam's 86, which means the last 86 years were bad years. Of the 210 years the Jews are in Egypt. Should we just switch gears here? We're okay. Let's switch gears. This is good stuff, but we're going to switch gears. Let's go through ourselves. Simple brains. What could be different levels? Now, as we know, my father told me today, he's a Holocaust survivor, we know that in Germany, it didn't take place in one day. First came the Nuremberg Laws. That was bad. You got fired from the university. Couldn't marry, intermarry. Maybe couldn't walk certain parks at night. Bad news. That was that. Then came, a couple years later, Kristallnacht. Now the Jews owed money. Depends where you were living. Because they claimed the Jews caused the whole loss of money. So now we have the Jews. Not only they don't have jobs, we now owe money. It's another level. Then happens what we call the ghettos. Ghettos at that point is bad. Ghettos are bad. But we're not yet mass murdering people in concentration camps, in death camps, right? But it's bad. The ghettos are bad. People are dying of lice, dysentery. It's a bad situation. Another level. And then we get to the Wannsee, what's that word? Wannsee. Wannsee. That's the word, right? In Austria.
Final Solution Conference.
Final Solution, right? This is History 102 for the Jews. So we see that in Germany, just recently, it didn't happen in 1 second. It goes into different levels. We're saying, this is not the first time this happened to the Jews. In Egypt, Yaakov died, it's one level. Now, when Yaakov died, how bad could it have been? Yosef was still the king. Yosef's second in command. Those first 55 years are bad compared to what it was when Yaakov's alive, but it's not that bad. Yosef, we still got a Jewish son-in-law in the White House, as a modern expression might be, right? It might not be so bad. When Yosef dies, right after Yosef dies, where it said before, Rashi's quote, this is all Rashi right now, it says, Perek Aleph Pasuk Vav, says that Vayomas Yosef, and after that says Vayaka Melech Chadash, new king in town. Shalayodas Yosef.
Recording in progress.
Don't worry. Shalayodas Yosef. Doesn't even know who Yosef is. So what means that while those first 55 years were bad, I don't know how bad, we're going to come up with theories ourselves, then Yosef disappears, it gets worse. And then when Levi dies, it gets much worse. So I'm asking, throwing it out, I'll give you a few of my own ideas, but now we have multiple ideas. What can we name now? We're going to come up with ourselves. The last 86 years were really bad. That's called Marar, Miriam, bitter, no good. The last year, if you remember from the end of Shemais, it was so bad, they didn't even get the materials to build the stuff. In fact, when you start looking around Midrashim to blow your mind away, which is very confusing, I'm giving you the summary of it. Going through it firsthand is difficult. There, it looks like there could be potentially 10 different levels of how bad it got for the Jews. Level one, which I'm telling you right now, can't be that bad. Yosef is still the king of Egypt. Yosef is a proud Jew, and everyone knew he was a Jew, and the Jews are still in power. But from Yosef, then dying, then Levi, then V'chol Adarahu, all the 70 people from that first generation died, got worse. Then when Miriam was born, it got even worse. Then at one point, Parah is hiring the midwives. Then it says, at one point, Parah became a leper. He was slaughtering kid for blood. It gets worse and worse and worse. Then at one point, all the Jews are being thrown into the Nile. Different levels. Potentially 10 levels. We're not going to get that disgusting and graphic and upset and going through 10 different levels of how the Jews could have suffered. We'll go from level 0 to level 1. What could have occurred? I'll give you my answers. But anyway, when Yaakov died and Yosef's still in power, that's level 1. How bad? Level 1 in the better ways. So I'm going to give a couple of myself that I thought of. First of all, we spoke last year that when Yaakov was alive, he had such a radiant of holiness that Egypt on some level was considered Israel, proper Israel. Eretz Israel had a certain level of Kedusha to it. So it could be, not a good thing, Yaakov died, Jews are still running the empire. We run the world, the Zionist protocols. We run the entire world, but what we lost is we don't live in Eretz Israel. When Yaakov was alive, it was Eretz Israel, and now the first level of exile is we lose Eretz Israel. Yaakov's death didn't affect a lot of Jews. A lot of Jews don't feel it. But we lost Eretz Israel. So level 1.
So you mean, in other words, is the size of Israel as it were contracted?
No, not bad. No, what I'm saying is that the holiness, that means we believe as Jews, if you walk into a holy site, you don't need a tunnel to be digging to get to Israel. You just wait till the Messiah comes and the whole shul picks up and moves to Israel. Now, you could have that in your private home. Your private home could reach a Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. You can't have YouTube on a daily loop. But if you could turn your home into a spiritual place as well. So when Yaakov was alive, his spirituality radiated out of him, that the entire Egypt was considered, well, not the entire, where he was living in Goshen, was considered proper Eretz Yisrael. We spoke about that a few years ago. Yaakov dies, they lost out. Does every person realize they lost out? No. Does every person in Germany in 1935 realize that what's coming? Unlikely. Now, there's a medrash that says, which I think is amazing, practical for us today. The medrash says that when Yaakov was alive, the Jews were considered above the regular people. A Jewish doctor was considered above the regular people. But when Yaakov died, they equated all people in Egypt. Now, that's a sensitive thing to realize. That's a level of gullus. That means, by the way, that if you're considered chashuv and you lose that level of chashivas, you're in exile. Now, it's not the worst exile. It's better than being in Auschwitz, but it's a level of exile. You have to understand that it's something. Now, some people just don't realize it. A former athlete, who now is a former athlete, very tough on these guys. Very tough. That means they're losing something. They feel it. Not everyone who loses something realizes that it's lost. Right? But it's a loss. So the Jews not necessarily lost the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. I'm giving you a different answer. What they lost was they were considered better. They were the Übermensch, like the Germans said about themselves, not about the Jews. They were the Übermensch, and now Yaakov died. I'm like, that savior is not around. They're just like, they look like us. They bleed like us. What's that phrase? They bleed just like we bleed. They put on their pants one leg at a time. But that's a big thing. That means we have to know ourselves. I think there's a Musav art. We have to know ourselves that we're better than that. And if we don't think that, it's a level of goals. It's a level of goals. It's a level of exile.
Even today?
I think so. On some level. Yeah, on some level. I would have a question to the crowd I put out there. Let's say, and one measure seems to say this, that when Yaakov was alive, the Jews were really respected, loved, honored, everything. But as soon as Yaakov died, the Jews, the non-Jews, knew they couldn't touch the Jews. Because Joseph is sitting in the kingdom. He's running the kingdom. But they started planning. That means you might not feel the exile, but it's there. When the non-Jews are plotting, right? You could be dancing on Simchas Torah and not realize what's going on 2 days earlier because you're not thinking of the plans. The plans are a form of exile. That means it doesn't have to be you actually lowered. It doesn't have to be you lost Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. It could be just for the fact that they're looking at you a little differently. It's as well. That's a third response. They lost Eretz Yisrael. They were equated. Or the non-Jews were planning. Now I have a big one. When Yaakov dies, this is what it says in Parshat Vayechi. Parshat Vayechi, we're going to page 268.
What chapter? What?
We are on 47:28. Let's see if Rashi says it. Yeah? Oh, Rashi does this. We normally have a break between Parshas. We have like a paragraph break. But before Vayechi, if you open a break and say Torah, you can't find. No break. I'm reading an article in 268. And the entire Torah is called Vayechi is unique. And that there is no extra space between it and the preceding parasha. In contrast to the general rule, that a sedra begins on a new line or is separated from the previous one by at least 9 letters. Why? Why is this one so unique? Here goes Rashi. Rashi therefore describes Vayechi as stuma, closed. A condition that is meant to teach something about the mood of Yaakov's children when he died. At that moment, the hearts of the children of Israel were closed in expectation of the suffering and despair. The spiritual exile begun, even though the physical and emotional travels of his enslavement did not yet commence. So I would say, on a fourth level, nothing actually changed. The non-Jews didn't do anything. Maybe they weren't even planning anything. But the Jews changed their attitude. Rashi's saying they changed their attitude in expectation of negativity. I'm saying even without that, I'm not talking about Rashi. Tzaras HaShibud. Now, but there wasn't any Shibud. This would mean something we know about today. Today we know, I would say, mental health. Tzaras HaShibud meant the pain, suffering of the what's going to be the enslavement. They were now, that what we call today a worry syndrome. They were proven right. But even paranoid people have enemies. But a person, the Jews themselves, at the loss of Yaakov, either correctly or incorrectly, I think it's two different approaches in our daily lives now, felt less. They felt that way. There were no plans by the Egyptians yet. No Eretz Yisrael change. No. No one looked at them differently, but they themselves felt differently. We quote a famous thing, that by the spies, they said that the nations made us think that we are grasshoppers. That means not that they taught us that way. Internally, how we look at ourselves. That's a bad thing. That's a thing that we have to work on. It sounds racist. But we have to work on the fact that we are lucky and Hashem loves us and we're in a good position as Jews. We shouldn't be so negative. But we don't have that feeling and we're afraid of a future suffering. That's a form of exile. Personal exile. Someone who's paranoid, God forbid, any one of these things, mental health issues. Right? There's a whole list of them. Those people are suffering. The anorexic girl who's looking in the mirror and everyone's like, you look too thin, she didn't look fat. Whatever that is, I don't even understand it. I don't have it. But right? The fact is that what? When a person is trapped within themselves, their own fears, their own insecurities, their own OCD, all of these things, it doesn't matter what the outside world's doing. The Egyptians aren't doing anything. There's no strategy right now. The Egyptians are saying, Joseph the Jew is in the palace. We're not doing anything. We'll think about it when he passes. No plans. No plans. No plans. But Rashi's telling us here in these words that the Jews themselves suffered. They felt lack of confidence. Maybe correctly, maybe incorrectly, there'll be two different approaches. But the idea is that when the people themselves lose their confidence, lose their everything, that's a form of exile. And today that absolutely applies. When, not politically, but when the Jews of the world are busy trying to gain favor in the eyes of the non-Jews, sometimes you need. But trying to gain favor in the eyes of non-Jews, that's a form of exile that we're in. Because we shouldn't, now we have to. We live in a practical world, so this is not a political conversation. But the idea that we could be in a certain location and not recognize what we're here for, what our job is, who cares what that guy thinks? Who cares? I have to do what's right. To a point, obviously. Can't be insane in doing those things. That's what insane people say as well. But the normal people have to do is, I have to do what's right. Doesn't matter my social pressure telling me to laugh at a certain joke. The social pressure telling me to put up a sign pro or against anything they are. No, I have to do the right thing, I have to do the right thing. But when you're not doing the right thing, that was the first level of the exile. Which means, we gave, I think, several approaches tonight. We definitely are agreeing on something. There was a different levels to the exile of Egypt. The end was terrible. But there were three levels, maybe, if you want to go Yaakov, Yosef, and Levi. Or there could be up to 10 levels. Each one progressively worse than the one before. We're focusing on the first one. The first one, I don't know what level we're on today. It happens to be just as important thing to know. The Rechaim HaKadosh says that the Jews there had it worse because they had no Torah. And when Jews have the Torah, all bets are off. We could be on the 49th level of contamination. We could be on the 50th level of contamination. Our Rechaim HaKadosh says this. Doesn't make a difference. But you know this famous thing that they had to leave the last second? There's a famous Arizal that the Jews had to leave Egypt at the last second. While they were on the 49.9 level of contamination, there's only 50. If they reach 50, it's purgatory forever. God had to rush them out. The Rechaim HaKadosh says, unbelievable for us. Well, negative also. We could reach 50 today. Maybe we did. According to our Chaim, maybe we are. But it doesn't make a difference because we have a Torah to get us out of it. When you got no Torah, God's got to pull you out of 49.9. But when you have a Torah, you never reach that bad. And you could superimpose it in 1 second. We can go from 50 to 1. In the old days, there's levels. They needed 49 days when left Egypt to get to the Torah. Now we have the Torah. It's one level. Which means everyone today has to realize whether we're in step 1 of exile, easiest one, still tough, or God forbid, we're 10 steps down, or we're past level 50, the positive of tonight's thing is, in 1 second we can fix them and say, you know what? We're blessed, we're Jews, we're lucky, we got to do the right thing.